We all tell ourselves stories of who we are and why. But we forget that we have the power to define them. That no idea grows from mewling striped cub to teeth at your throat tiger without a little help, some guidance, and a whole lot of love along the way. I'm Jared Cerf, and this is Here Be Tigers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Otter Worlds, where we are continuing with our high-flying adventure, and I mean it literally as two of us are hovering off of the ground. I am David Herman, a.k.a. Ramnesis of the Brothers Herman, and with me today is...
I am Jared Cerf, host of Here Be Tigers.
And I'm on the Blue Pastille Online, and I'm just hanging out. Great.
And we are running our Rules Light Dungeon World Build From the Ground Up project, where we're all playing kids, trying to figure out like what the world is and building it around ourselves, a la Secret of Mana, Terranigma, that kind of thing. Thus far, we have not gotten in enough trouble to be kicked out of the village and started on our epic world-saving quest. Will we? Probably not the way we're going.
You know... Dave, you shouldn't set up that challenge at the start of the episode.
I just wanted to give them context for, like, which game this was.
You know, it is amazingly common how often you do a dumb thing and then immediately the village elder goes, all right, time for you to die in the wilderness.
Yeah, well, they're trying to answer the question of who are you, why now, and like how do you get started? You got to... Of course, a lot of times they also make it so that you do not have much in the way of family.
Yeah, there is in both Square games, a lot of old JRPGs, some Westerns too, there's a remarkable dearth of surviving parents.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have a reason, like, you can't give the players a chance. In those early games, it would be too hard to program in the a moment of rejecting the call right. In any serious way. So you can't let that happen.
It's the other reason I didn't want any of us to play mentors, because none of them survive.
Right.
And as you know, neat as that would be, I know when you had your idea for the Final Fantasy-inspired game that the mentor role was a potential one and you wanted to kind of subvert how that went. But I think us all playing the children in the village forces us to take that same, at least at the beginning, level of innocence until, you know, someone gains experience and learns that occasionally the world just doesn't care.
We also need an indication of, at some point, we need an indication that something is not the way we think it is if we're going by these games. Because right now, what we've got is a pretty standard village, and the strangest thing is that the mayor's son has a Pokemon, so...
Oh, okay. There was one thing I forgot to tell you that I don't think has come up, because it being a normal part of the world, no one pays attention. Early in when Steve and I were texting about this, for some random reason, I threw out the description of clouds that move around in the sky like gears.
Interesting.
Not that they're gear-shaped, you know, they're clouds, they're water vapor or something like, but they all maintain this kind of weird halo-like architecture that with branching pieces of them, and that's just the clouds in the sky.
That actually sounds a little bit like something I was planning for that Final Fantasy game.
Great minds, Dave.
But that was very long-term stuff, and it was probably never going to come up unless the game was one of those, like, enduring multi-year games.
Okay, well, clearly we have to introduce Edgelord to this game. Field of Blades.
I think this game will do just fine without that.
You think we'll be dating it otherwise? Very well. So why don't you set the scene for this, and then we will roll into a point of, I think probably because we ended with, go ahead.
Okay, so... The scene, as it is right now, is that Finn is basically currently hovering above the sky because he ran away with a treasure. Bo leapt out to grab him because it looked like fun, and the two of them continued floating. Cece has been following along on the ground trying to help. And as we were heading towards the cliffhanger last time, we ran into a little bit of trouble. This treasure has been slowly merging with Finn's arm as some kind of vine. And the last thing that I remember happening last time was that it went all the way up his shoulder, stabbed Bo's hand with some thorns, and Bo slipped and is now hanging on from Finn's shoe.
I like it. So my impulse, were I GMing, this is why I'm throwing this out to the group, would be that since we ended with Bo and Finn last time, to start with Cece.
I absolutely agree. I thought there would be one useful thing we could do beforehand, which is to state what everyone's goals are currently in the scene.
Okay, yeah, playing a little off of keys, what our intent for the scene or for the session is.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, Bo's immediate goal is not to fall. Long term, he was pursuing what he thought of Finn was pursuing, which may be what Finn was pursuing, which is getting over the fence of the mayor's into the mayor's manor to get to the party stuff early.
Okay, yeah, I think our momentary objective is crash the party and make a mess and, you know, find a seat at the table for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else hear that scrabbling noise?
Sounds like a keyboard.
Honey, are you typing?
I type. Yeah, I take notes sometimes.
Okay.
But also, every time you talk, it's scratchy for me.
I think, you know, outside of getting a seat at the table, Finn's goal is to, well, magic's cool, right? Let's see what we can do with this.
Right.
And it'll probably mean trouble, but that's definitely for Cece to figure out. So, yeah, that's Finn's goal for this particular escapade. He knows he's going to get in trouble. So that's, you know, the goal for Finn is how much fun can I have before the trouble comes? Okay, Cece, what's your goal for this escapade?
Cece's goal essentially is to figure out what is going on. Why? What just happened?
Okay.
Why did something try to eat her brain? And so that's on the top of her mind, but she also wants to get to Finn and Bo before they, you know, do something stupid like crash land and die.
So Cece's having adult worries.
I think by far Cece is the closest to taking that step towards responsibility.
Well, now that we know it's viral.
I think so.
But you're right, she's 17, which is kind of often in these tales of interacting with the fae and the mythical or the magical otherworldly when you stop being able to. So we'll see if that's the truth of this world. Okay, so let's dive in. Cece, you left the market. Where are you now? And can you still see Finn and Bo as they've begun hurtling toward what is clearly the mayor's set up for a party?
I think Cece's running along the street towards the front door of the mayor's mansion where she saw the son of the mayor.
You two locked eyes.
Go inside. So she's hurrying through the crowd. Nobody else seems to be at all worried. And I think she can see Finn and Bo in the sky, but she can't do anything about it. So she's being very one-minded going towards the door.
Okay, so do you want to have seen that moment where Bo slips? So you're running. You see Bo slide down. He's just holding by a heel or an ankle.
Mm-hmm. How far off the ground are you at this point? Mm-hmm. Two floors? Two stories?
We were a couple stories up when Bo grabbed on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say I was at the top of of a building. So that I was either standing on the roof of a one or two story building.
Sure.
I don't know which way I had imagined it.
Sure. So let's say story or two and definitely hurtling much faster than we should be or we had moved before. I think it was kind of, languors before drifting along and up into the sky more so as I let go of things to hold me down. And Bo holding on probably keeps us from going higher. But at the same time, I think it's a question of how much longer he can maintain that grip. So the reason I'm asking is, maybe it goes two ways. Decide what you're doing and how you're going to get there. And then we can decide whether Bo falls or not. And if you get a chance, and if so, what you want to do in that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think when Cece sees Bo slip, she starts pointing at the, yelling and pointing at the mayor's house, because it is the tallest house in the village. So hang, grab onto the house and don't drift further up.
Okay, so you're trying to get our attention and hope that you can direct us toward grabbing a balcony or something, decorations on the roof to hold on to.
Exactly. So Bo doesn't die.
throw us the line and we'll bounce off of it.
I'm not going to do it in real life, but I think she does scream.
the house, get on the roof. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. She screams and she points. Do the other people around her notice?
Good question. This is a GM call usually in the game, so I don't think there's a role involved. But we've established as a truth that something is keeping them occupied, right, Dave?
Yeah, we've established it as a truth that something is we don't know much more about it than that. It might be keeping them all occupied permanently. It might just be keeping them distracted when they might be looking up. So it might be a fleeting thing.
Okay, so if that's true, then they all look up, Sessie, but not to where you're pointing. So it sounds like you were able to get their attention briefly for the moment, and then it just slides elsewhere.
She continues running. He's running towards the boys and the house and tries to get their attention to grab onto something.
Oh, Bo's definitely trying his best to grab onto something. Right now, it's Finn's foot.
Is it your intent, Sessie, to get to the house before we do?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the challenge. When that gust of wind hits, we definitely are moving much faster, even though Bo's grip is precipitous at best. What do you do?
I just book it. As fast as I can, down the road.
Okay. So, Dave, I'd imagine this road is occupied. There's stuff in the way. There's people migrating perhaps in for or bringing stuff into the you're going through the front entrance where the gate is, right?
Yes.
I would say there are two ways of navigating a crowd. One is to dexterously move around them. And the other one is to have a good sense of who's moving where so that you know where to go. It depends on which way. I'd say one is defy danger dexterity, and one of them is defy danger wisdom.
I think I'll go with wisdom. He's already getting a bit winded.
Yeah, this might come down to a con roll too, depending on how well you do. But let's see how the dice favor you this time.
Well, you know, they never favor me.
-3.
Very well. 2d6 plus 1, 8. Ooh.
Okay, then. So you have a worse outcome, a hard bargain, or an ugly choice. So here's what I'm thinking. You chose to find a way through based on how people are moving. But the challenge is, even though you've distracted them, whatever's drawing their attention is not consistent. People are milling about looking for something in the sky, but they're all looking in different places. So as much as you're able to navigate through them part way, you get winded and worn out because you're constantly having to adjust and dodge and stumble around people who just don't seem to pay any attention to you at all because whatever in the sky has caught their interest most. So you can get there before us, you think, but you'll have to knock something else or someone out of the way, or you can be cautious and leave everyone else safe.
I think she'll just stumble through as fast as she can. Even if she knocks into someone, because someone on the ground is still on the ground. They're not floating in the sky.
Okay. Let's mark down that there's somebody you have knocked out of the way, and there will be consequences for that. We don't know what now because you're too busy, but you will get there, you think, before we do. So I have a question because we have a couple bonds between Bo and Finn. Here's what I'll go. First question. Do you think Finn's noticed that you're slipping?
Do I think he has? I think that's up to you.
Okay. No, I mean, I guess I'm phrasing this wrong. I'll throw it to you as a in-character question if that works better. I'm going to assume Finn noticed you're slipping and he's still trying to get there first. So the question we'll ask is, do you trust me?
I think it is less a matter of trust and more a matter of Bo is kind of used to getting into tough situations and things work out fine.
Okay.
Like, he's durable. Well, I mean, I just think he's used to being able to shrug off. Like, he doesn't really mind being injured that much. Nothing serious has happened to him yet. I mean, a lot of small stuff has. He's definitely been hurt, but it just doesn't. He's the kind of person who's gotten into a lot of scrapes and has gotten used to it.
So here's what I'm thinking. Finn was initially intending to get both of you there to the seat, you know, crash land together. But if you're falling, he's going to help you on your way. So this is an aid on whatever you do next to endure the landing or get to where you want to go or think you should. We'll see how well I do at it, though.
Oh, I have an idea for how that's going to work.
Fair enough. Finn's just going to help you on your way. So, okay, 2d6 plus 1, because we have one bond to my knowledge, and hope the dice favor us. Or not. Part of the fun is when they don't. Plus Q, even better. Ooh, barely. 7. Okay, so this means I share in whatever happens to you. But you do get a plus 1 moving forward on it. So you feel Finn, and this shouldn't work really, but somehow he maneuvers, he flips, he pivots, and you are hurtled.
Yeah, I think I'm hurtled towards the mayor's residence. I'm going to hopefully managing to get over the gate.
Okay, so what is the thing you're hoping to do or trying to do or want to do?
There's probably a tree that's branches go over the fence and all of that, and the tree is pretty high, so that's probably a pretty good location.
You're hoping for a good landing before the house.
Well, basically, I'm hoping for a landing in that tree.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping for it not just a safe landing. I'm hoping to be in that tree and not on the ground.
Okay, so I guess my bigger question to you is, are you more concerned with keeping yourself safe or landing where you want to?
It's much more interesting if I'm more concerned with getting in that tree.
Okay, that's defy danger instead of defend.
All right, so let's see. I think I have dexterity at 1, and to catch a tree is probably the thing. I vaguely remember putting dexterity up last time.
You put it to 2.
But I think it's better to keep it at 1. I think the way I'm describing Bo, something else will be better in the 2 place.
Fair enough.
That is a 9.
Okay, then. Worst outcome, hard bargain, ugly choice, Ani, which is it?
Oh, so it was worse outcome, hard bargain, or ugly choice? Hard bargain and ugly choice sound like they're the same thing.
Semantics.
I think the valence is... Eventually, we deviated away from the specifics of this. It's more about you can get one thing, but there's always a cost involved. So we want to be more fluid about that. Ani, what he wants to do is get in the tree. Safety is less important. Mm-hmm. What's the hard choice for him? Or what else happens if he gets there safe anyway? Because there's that option too.
He gets to the tree, like near the top of the tree, but you're not alone. You crash land into the tree and you see bright yellow eyes right in front of your face and just a bound of fur and something attacks you.
Mm.
You know, this brings up an interesting thing that you and I, Dave, have talked about in these games about hard and soft moves. So I think this is a good time to kind of explore which of these this is. A soft move is a setup, right? There's a monster, here's what it's like. What do you do? A hard move is, here's what you did. Here's what happens.
I think the main difference in my head between a hard move and a soft move is a hard move sets up a situation that needs to be addressed and ends with the question, what do you do?
Okay.
A hard move is just the upright consequence.
Sure.
Like the thing, the situation that needs to be addressed gets to move before you do.
So my question, having delineated that line, is, Ani, which do you think this is? Is this the consequence of his actions or a moment he gets to act in first?
I think he can act in this moment.
The soft move. You got a critter, Bo. It seems perturbed.
Yellow eyes, it's attacking me. I think my main goal right now is to endure this while I get my bearings and try to get it to go away. So I'm going to try to endure whatever it's going to throw at me without making a sound, unless this thing is like my size. That would change things. But I'm assuming this is like a tree critter size, like a squirrel or a raccoon.
Sounds more like a defend then.
Yes.
So that's 2d6 plus con.
Con is the one I'm thinking is actually going to be the plus 2. All that description of him just like, you know, being willing to take a bit of pain and that kind of thing.
Sure.
He's got a lot of experience just kind of cleaning himself up and all that. I think he's just durable.
Sounds fine. So if you roll well, you get multiple hold, which sounds like the better move here because it will give you more options of things and with things to do.
Also, I very rarely play characters who have a high constitution who are durable. This is new.
Brilliant. Was squishy.
Everyone I play is squishy.
Yeah. You like squishy wizards.
I like people who get by their ingenuity and that kind of thing.
Right. So grit for you is kind of playing against type.
Mm-hmm.
At least habit.
I suppose Calithrax was a pretty durable guy.
No, well, that's true, yeah. You were diminished, but you definitely liked taking challenges head on. How'd you do on the roll?
I am putting it in right now.
No worries.
Another plus two.
Yep.
An eight. We're rolling middle of the road today.
Okay, you hold one. So long as you stand in defense, when you or the thing defending is attacked, the thing you defend is attacked, you may spend hold one for one to choose an option. You have one hold, and your options are redirect the attack, have its effect or damage, open up the attacker to someone else bending it, or harm it immediately in return.
Give me a moment. I'm going to... all right. I don't need to deal damage. I'm not trying to deal damage. There's no one coming to my aid. So I'm thinking that I'm going to mostly have the attack's damage. I'm just trying to endure it. That's pretty much the thing I'm trying to accomplish anyway.
Okay, so another question then. We weren't adding attack or damage stats. This doesn't sound like a huge dangerous creature, does it, Ani?
No.
Actually, a better way of putting it is, given what it is and the fact that it's probably not going to do a lot of damage, I should be trying to defend deal with the thing I'm trying to defend, because what I'm trying to defend is my placement.
Right. You're trying to keep your place.
Yes.
So you get to spend a hold to keep that, or you spend a hold for something else.
I think it's that one. Okay. I mean, what I'm going to be is like a little scuffed up after this.
So you take your place, and I think probably the better thing here is an effect. Whatever happens is, well, Ani, you came up with the creature. It does scratch a bow. What's that like? What is this creature capable of? Is it poisoned? Is it annoying? Is it loud?
The creature feels like it is fluid. It has sharp claws. It scratches your arm, but it's like a cat scratch. It's not super dangerous. And you try to bat it away and you can't seem to get a grip on it or touch it in any way. And it sort of goes by you and you can't really, it's dark, there's leaves everywhere. You can't really get a good sense of what this creature is, but you can sense it. It just flows by you and sort of like through you and then skitters away, like down the trunk. But you can't really figure out what it is exactly. But you do have a nice, lovely three scratches on your arm.
Sounds good.
So this leaves one kind of tiny consequence, because as we established, bow holding on to Finn is what was keeping him on trajectory.
Yep.
So I feel like this is time for a hard move, because we've established these truths that things adding weight to Finn and whatever is carrying him keeps him further.
Oh, yes.
Anchored. Removing those does not. So, Bo, you land, and I think you and Ceci both have a clear eye view of what happens after that. I'm leaving it up to you two.
In my mind, I'm imagining Bo dropping into the tree, and you know how in water, like, you go down with Bo for like half a foot, and then you just launch up because you lost that weight.
Mm. Okay, so if I'm launching, where do I end up going, Dave?
Ooh, let's see. I think you're no longer going to hit the second story of the mayor's house, but there is probably either a bell tower or a small lookout tower or something like that. And that is the last thing that's in your trajectory that you could hit if you are lucky.
Okay, we've established before that for some reason, probably due to the magic or Finn's nature, he's able to pull some level of maneuvering in air that shouldn't be possible. Let's say...
I still don't think we've hit hard move yet.
No. I didn't before, but I feel like it's a good time for discern realities. Because clearly, I think at this point, having let go of Bo and seeing his trajectory changed, he's had a chance to see how much of the thing has grown onto him. And I think whatever his reaction to that is will determine what he does next.
Yeah.
So I think having let go of Bo and no longer having distractions, he's noticed the thing on him that seems to want to be him, on or in or a part of. Let's do discern realities. His whiz is plus one, so 2d6 plus one. I like how none of us are trying to use our power stats.
Actually, I need to pull up the dungeon world. There we go. No, those are those. I need the DM's moves.
Yeah, it's about halfway through the book, I recall. Oh, no. Inevitable.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I don't get an answer to any questions because I rolled a five. I don't get any questions because I rolled a 5. Instead, a thing happens. So once you're done looking, Dave.
Well, that's what I'm doing, is I'm actually trying to figure out what is a good... Those are all soft moves.
We've established that Finn is distracted. He probably had Cece point out to him that, you know, there's the roof, there's a bell tower, there are places he could go. And it really looks like he should notice those things, Ceci. But mm-hmm. you see him probably pawing at or clawing and then reaching up his arm to his shoulder. You can't tell quite what that is. It's very green, though.
Oh, and I know the hard move. The hard move is...
Go ahead.
Your trajectory is now completely in the control of this creature. That's the hard move. Whatever it wants is where you're going.
Okay, so that's up for you two to decide then, because that clearly can't be Finn's choice. Actually, you know what? There's a beat before that. I think we go back to Ceci, because your goal was twofold, right? It was to get there before either of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've established that you did. You got there before Bo. You saw him crash into the tree, struggle with something. You know, made noises and darted off. And when you look up, Finn is, he's not flying like before. He feels, it's more like something is pulling him up outward, just anywhere but the mayor's house.
Ooh, I think it's going mm-hmm. straight towards an upstairs window of the mayor's house. It's got a room it's going for.
There you go. So you see, this is definitely not Finn's control, because you saw him, you saw like the pivot and stumbles. This feels like his arm, whatever it is, pulls him down, up, swivels around, and dives right or heads for, let's say, a balcony window on the second story. What do you do?
I keep on running towards the front door where I saw Mayor's son disappear into.
Are you going to run into the house or do this the proper way?
I'm going to run into the house. I'm going to try that door and see if it's open and just wrench it open if it is.
I feel like with everyone coming in and out, the doors aren't locked today.
That makes sense.
So you swing the door open. I think the bigger question is there anyone else inside when Ceci runs in?
I think there are people like walking around with like crates and chairs and plates and things, just moving things around, setting things up.
Okay, so mostly war crew, servants, staff.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? Discern realities. We know you're largely distracted, so it's a question of whether you even notice or pay much attention.
I don't know. Nothing.
Ooh.
I rolled a 4.
You know the sun went into here. You know you locked eyes with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know.
I run up the stairs.
I think I know who's caught you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, no.
Okay, who are you thinking? I want to know if it's the same person.
I was thinking the sun. I was thinking he was going to pop up and go, what exactly are you doing here?
Okay, because the thing I was going to throw in front of her was her lover boy, so I think it's both.
Oh, no.
They're going to get into a tussle over you. Set up your beats. I'll roll the guide when it feels appropriate.
What exactly do you think you're doing here?
What exactly do you think you're doing to the town people?
I have no clue what you're talking about. The party isn't for another couple of hours. You shouldn't be in here. It's time for you to leave.
Nope. And I try to just go through.
Do your thing and then we'll roll. What was the other guy's name again?
Davey.
There we go. I remember it was a D. Go ahead. So she tries to dart past the mayor's son. What does he do?
Well, I think that's going to what he does is going to be a reaction to what she does. If she's going to try to barge through, that's a roll.
Okay, so if you're just barreling through them, that's probably Defy Danger strength.
Great. I'm super
Did
strong.
Did you even assign a strength?
I don't have a strength yet. I'm just going to do a straight strength.
There's 0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have one left, which is Dex, which will be my minus
one. It's really funny.
I'm just letting you really know.
I'm pretty sure I know what the rest of my stats are going to be, by the way. Since I've done the +1, the +1, and the +2, I know my dump stat's going to be intelligence, just because I'm not book smart.
I just think it's fascinating that the most self-aware and adult of the group is the one that knows what she's capable of best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had this idea last time for my character having a 0 charisma because he thinks he's good at talking his way out of situations, but he isn't actually.
Glorious. Wait.
I did roll a 7.
It's better than nothing. I think Alfie might be the one who's charismatic in this group. And he's not here.
I am. I have a +2 in charisma,
that's
guys.
That's right. You are. You are the face.
I am the
and
face.
Also the one who doesn't
so naturally, you're plowing your way through.
Don't talk. Well, last time she talked to a guy, he hit on her. So she's learned her lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. So you roll a 7. I think here's what happens. You barrel over the mayor's son because, you know what, you actually engage in hard labor daily and he does not. But he has martial practice where you do not. You knock him over and then he's got a firm grab on your ankle. And then because he has to and because somehow he's attached to you, Davy barges in the door. What are you doing there? You let go. I'm with you, Cece, whatever it is.
Help me. Help me, Davy.
Oh, no.
He hurt me.
He what? Davy comes barreling up the stairs, slugs the mayor's son in the face. Go, go, go. And they fisticuffs roll down the stairwell.
Great. I ignore both of the guys and just run towards the side of the house where I know Finn was
in so much trouble. Finn, your arm has taken you all the way to the window. And right as you're about to get there, just out of reach of the windowsill, it stops. There's this shaking in your arm, and you feel the vines starting to retract. And as you watch, the thing basically bunches up and prepares to project itself off of you and through the window. And as it's moving out of your arm, you feel yourself starting to fall. What do you do?
Oh, that thing's not going anywhere. I hold on to it. Mine now. I stole it. I mean, I'll give it back to Alfie if he asks, but he's not around, which totally isn't a problem, and nothing went wrong about that. He's fine. Definitely. Absolutely fine. But Defy Danger. Okay. Actually, it's Defy Danger, I'd say, because it's trying to get away from me.
I'm trying
to hold on to it.
Or if you don't know something else, it's almost always Defy Danger.
Yeah. I guess my biggest question is, and this is a weird thing for grappling, does it feel like it's more powerful and I'm trying to hold on to it, like, you know, bucking Bronco style? Or does it feel like I can overpower it if I manage to do well enough?
So to me, because this is a wriggling mass of vines that is not behaving the way that you're thinking it will, it's not so much trying to break your grip, it's trying to slip out of your grip, almost definitionally, because it's trying to slip out of your arm.
Sure. So let's say strength then. I don't want it to get anywhere, so I'm going to hold on. Let's see if this goes well or not. I got a 12.
Very nice.
Nice.
So on a 10 plus, you do what you set out to. The threat doesn't come to bear. And we tend to, on effectively the high rolls, cause more, because why not? So we know I hold on to it, but what else happens?
Well, you get a hard move, not the GM, not as the GM, but as the player.
So, okay. I hold on to it, which means I'm going wherever it's going. I don't have to know that because my goal is to hold on to it. But I think the hard move here is that there was a moment where this thing removed itself from me and I was probably safe from it later for the future. I chose not to let that path happen. Mm-hmm. So whatever follows, this thing's not getting away from me and I have to live with that.
True, but in general, that should go better for you than for it, because it was a 12 and not a failed roll.
So here's my other thought then, because we don't really know how magic works in this game. So the other possibility is I hold on to it for this moment of the scene to get where it's going, and even if it escapes me, whatever it does, I can still do.
Whatever it does, you can still...
I can still do. So whether there was some residual magic to it that stayed in me, I don't know, or it activated something. I don't think we know any of those things, but I will keep some of what it is.
Yeah, like a druid move that you can use you can use a few times.
Right, whatever it ends up being, there's a bit of what it does that I can still do, and we'll figure out what that is later. That's the hard move.
Sounds good.
The success in this is I will hold on to it as it barrels through. So...
My initial impulse is that if it cannot jump, you're both left floating there, but that's not interesting.
No.
So, I think you both get propelled through the window. I don't know what's up there, though. Annie, any ideas?
So, I feel like you crash through the window. Glass just shatters everywhere within the room, and it's just you on the ground. Gravity is with you once more, and a bunch of vines just wiggling in your grasp, trying to become something. And you're on the second floor. There's a balcony. The room inside, it's just an office. There's a door. There's a desk. There are bookshelves around, and now you're just standing what used to be a window.
Making a wreck of the office as I try to hold on to this thing still.
Yeah, I think it's like literally wriggling in your grasp, vines like lashing out into nothing.
Okay, yeah, so probably whatever is loose or free in this office is getting knocked over, ripped, pulled apart as it attempts.
Anything it can reach.
Yeah, as it attempts to find leverage somewhere. And I think that's a good beat for Ceci to run in on, right?
I hear the crash and I run to that door and wrench it open. And I just see you there.
Hi, Ceci.
Wrecked. What? What is that thing?
It's whatever Alfie found. Do you want to help? Or, you know.
I run at Ben with my rolling pin and smack it.
Okay. That's an attack, really, isn't it?
And I think there's no way it's not.
Are you trying to keep Finn safe or hurt it?
I don't even know. I think she's just moving purely on adrenaline at this moment.
Then that's an attack.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this wasn't where I expected the mock combat to start, but roll strength. 2d6 plus strength.
Okay. Well, my strength is beautiful plus 0.
Can't go worse than last time.
I got an 8.
Okay. So specifically, on a 10 plus, you deal your damage to the enemy and avoid their attack. At your option, you may also do more damage but take their attack anyway. On a 7 to 9, you deal your damage to the enemy and the enemy makes an attack against you. We don't have classes or jobs, so we don't have damage dice. But I think the truth remains, you harm it and it harms you.
I think that's a good way of putting it. I think we can use a simplified, like, system of like bruised, hurt, injured out of it.
Sure. Okay, so we know Ceci isn't strong, but she's also furious. And we know you're going to hit it. You've got a rolling pin. We know the rolling pin hurts. Whether or not it should, well, that's the truth now. Your rolling pin hurts weird magic vine things. So mm-hmm. We're going to have to figure out that. What's the hurt?
Oh, no,
like?
More go bread ahead. Magic.
Okay, she's not edible yet. I will rise again. We had a yeast witch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
It's technically not our fault to begin with, but definitely by now it is.
Yeah, that is about the you would think, you know, Jared or I would be the ones who would have come up with that, especially after the Levinworm, Jaren.
Fine. Blame the marshmallow dragon on me. The guy who came up with an elf artificer made out of cake had a pet unicorn, Croquembouche, that was also out of edibles. And come to think of it, I think literally out of edibles, now that I look back on that episode.
Hmm.
My point is, I don't think we're there yet.
No, we are not there yet.
Okay, so however you do it, you hurt this thing. What's the hurt look like?
I think she holds the rolling pin in her hand and just goes, smashes it through into the vines towards the core that is whatever was in that box.
Okay, so you open up to whatever that green glowing thing was. And then the question, I think, Dave, is how does it hurt her back?
Yeah, it doesn't, like, narratively, how does it hurt? Because it's not just lashing out, because you definitely caught it by surprise. So, no. Dungeon World is more narrative. The narrative of this is that she cracks Finn a little bit, and he takes the damage.
True, because as you said, it's a thin, weird, nebulous thing, and the more solid one is Finn.
Yep.
So, following off your three-base swing there, You hit, and man, do you land it. You hear Finn yowl. And you know what? Because I feel like this is appropriate. He reflexively grabs onto Ceci, and now you're both floating.
Do you still hold on to the thing?
You startled it. I lost my grip. It's free, and now we're both floating.
What did you do?
Technically, this is Alfie's fault for having it.
What is that thing?
Gone? Oh, God. You know where it's going to go, Dave? That we won't know, I'm going to float this out because, again, we're group GMing this. Of the two tussling on the stairs, who does it grab onto?
I think it would be more attracted to the mayor's son.
That's right. It was heading toward the house.
It was heading towards the house.
Oh, God. This is how we get kicked out.
So, at this point, I think, just narratively, let's, I think this is the point that Bo pops his head in the window. He was already elevated, so I'm figuring he's got, like, he's climbed his way up there. Just because I don't want to go through all the roles that it would take.
Yeah, it's not interesting. That's the other part of the game. If things aren't interesting or compelling, they either do because you're capable of it, or you hand wave to the next compelling beat narrative. Because it's a game about cinematic adventure, so.
Yeah, floating's fun, isn't it? What happened?
I point to Ceci in the rolling pin.
That
this is awful.
That explains nothing.
The thing, it went that way, and I'm basically doing a barrel roll very slowly in the air.
I'm going to do a very quick drag them both to the ground and dash out the door going, come on then.
Okay, I think this is really easy because we're effectively weightless, so you can just grab both of us. And, okay, you've got both of us floating. Ceci doing a very gentle, slow, dramatic, not in the way she wants to, barrel roll.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. I've got a scene idea that is like amazing, and I hope it plays out. But I'm imagining these stairs as being like a set of circular stairs that come down around the side of the room. They're still tussling on the stairs. The thing has just crashed into them and is they're all in a heap there. And I'm thinking that because the two of you are floating, that I'm basically that Bo's basically going to keep on hanging on and jump over the railing and use you guys to slow his fall.
Beautiful,
amazing.
I think that was your role. You've established Bo was reckless but also durable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a hard move consequence here. You chose what you're doing. Now you have to live with it.
So the question is, narratively, do you guys actually slow my fall or not?
What's your thought on it? I've established that as long as we're floating, we don't have much weight behind us. So then however we slow them has to be some other action, if we choose to.
I think it would be an aid action.
Who are you aiding, me or Bo?
I guess if Bo is holding to both of us, like one hand to each of us, I would basically just be screaming the whole time, holding on to his hand while we're plummeting down. Weightless, and I'm trying to pull him up while falling.
So your goal is to keep everyone connected. Roll aid.
Yes. So I would roll an aid.
Yep,
I think.
Plus one for bonds.
Yeah. I've done a lot of screaming this episode.
I don't know why.
Oh, 13!
Oh. Very nice. Well, that makes me roll a plus 3, so I'll do my roll and let's see what happens.
4.
10.
Oh,
that aid was because I incorporated your aid. That aid was the difference, but that took me to 10.
Okay, so we have a cascade. Something awesome happens, but Bo, you've got what you want for now. So Ceci's holding everyone on. Okay, so I guess the question is, how exactly are we slowing you down if we're not weighted?
Yeah, because I think Bo was assuming that you both were floating and that would do some upward momentum. But I think what actually happened is that you guys are forming a kind of a rope chain with one of you hanging onto the banister, one of you hanging onto that person, and Bo's hanging onto the third. And now it's just touchdown.
Just gentle, like perfect, you know, dramatic touchdown. He feels like it was all magical. The other two of us are going,
yep.
Pinkies and toes.
So Bo's charging into the two people who are struggling, like with the vine going, don't let it get away. Because it hasn't even occurred to him that they would have a different opinion on this. He didn't see how this scuffle started.
Right, and he wouldn't have the social grace to assume it was over Ceci.
Yeah, she's got very good bread, but she makes a lot of bread, so there's more than enough to go around.
I hope honestly, it says he's trying to explain this is your counter.
I make the best bread.
This is Bo's bond with Ceci. Like, she makes really good bread.
Yep.
So your goal on this, Bo, is to hold on to the vine and to get them to help you, correct?
My goal right now is to insert myself into this situation and see what happens. Maybe that's my goal as the player, not the character.
Okay. I know you're looking for fun and trouble here. Okay. You want the vine to stay intact and for someone to have it. So, you know, you have a moment here. You can either figure out a good way to do this, but you said you just go right in, right?
I just go right in. This is the narrative. The time for figuring out a good moment has passed.
Sure, then.
There is the possibility that I will be quick on the uptake.
I feel like that's a defy danger, no?
You're not thinking quick. You're not doing mental fortitude. Definitely not social grace and charm. So, powering through, maybe? Or I'd say it's enduring or powering through.
It's really not either. As a character moment, it's really not either. Okay. Because it hasn't occurred to him that anyone's going to do anything different. I'm thinking it might be, it's not mental fortitude.
No.
It's either acting fast or charm. And I don't think I think it's because he actually said, don't let it get away, that he's kind of expecting to get help from these two. So I think it's charisma, which is not his strong suit, but that is the narrative that I set up.
Right. Because otherwise it's you attempting to parlay, but leverage, I don't think we have that established.
Yeah, there's no time for leverage.
Right. So yeah, roll ka, defy danger. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get people to help you.
7.
Okay, then. So I think what happens is one of them pauses long enough to think about your argument about the bread and sharing it. And
I don't think I said that. I think I just said, don't let it get away, which kind of alerted them to the fact that there was something there.
Okay, so here's my hard choice for you. You see both of them acknowledge the thing wrestling with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are two different reactions. Davies is fear. The mayor's is avarice. The mayor's son is avarice. Who do you help?
I think it's not really a matter of who I help, because again, not quick on the uptake. I think it's more along the lines of, because the mayor has like son is avarice, he's actually grabbing onto it. So is Bo. At this point, Bo still thinks they're working together, which means he's got what he wants, that we've stopped this thing from getting away. The consequence is that now it's the mayor's son's move to do whatever he wants.
Okay, so I think here's where we have to give that monster a few moves.
Nah, it's at the mercy of all of these crazy people. Nothing about this is going its way right now.
Dave, you've played this game.
All right, it is either the mayor's son or the creature gets its move.
Right. I guess the question is, who are we defining moves for? Because it feels like the thing is pinned down, and by two ways will be three. However, the only advantage it has is that the two of the things holding on to it have different reasons for that. So
I can tell you, by the way, one of the mayor's son's moves, because he's done it already, is change the situation to my advantage. That's a truth we've essentially already written into the world.
Let's get moves for both then, so that we know what they can do and therefore what should act in this moment. So it doesn't have to be three, but one or two at least. We know the flying thing has some type of move on the length that allows it to grow or entangle or change its shape or expand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Expand and wriggle mm-hmm. through, something like that.
Expand and wriggle through is a good one. We know the mayor's son has the change the situation to my advantage. How old is the mayor's son?
He's probably like 17. Mm.
So he's also at that cusp.
Yep.
So this is an important thing. We know Ceci is experiencing the possibility that people her age and older see things differently in the world. Is that also affecting the mayor's son, or is he different from her in that regard?
I feel like he knows something about the world that other people don't.
Okay, so the avarice then stems from him knowing what magic can do. Knowing something.
That would make sense. So
he has some hidden knowledge about magic. I don't know how to phrase that exactly as a move, but either he has some of his own or he knows what magic things can do.
Yes. Probably like in a very, he is not in full control of the situation yet.
Yeah.
So maybe like mm-hmm. a use magic partially effectively.
Use magic freely, but not well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I think two moves is enough. The other thing we know this thing can do is float. Fly or make the wind move too.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I think the big question here is, having grabbed onto this device, does the sun try to use it, or does the thing act of its own will or volition?
I would say the thing grabs onto the mayor's son.
And tries to bind to him.
Yeah.
So it either consciously or not, it reads the two and tries to wrap itself around the mayor's son instead, which we know means he starts to float.
Hmm.
Davy's still holding on, so that means it's not very high. But here we are, two of us hanging on the stairwell and the banister.
Actually, I think that means that everyone's floating, because the way we described it is Bo and the mayor's son were both holding on to the thing.
There you go. So now we're all drifting around the stairwell at various levels. And I think at this point, the world intrudes upon our disaster.
Oh. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. We're coming up on a good on the time we need to wind down anyway. So do we want a cliffhanger moment?
Let's build and see what happens. So throw it out.
I kind of have this thought, and I'm going to throw it out there as a potential, but I've thrown a lot of things in recently, so I'm going to let you guys decide. But the thought I had was that the mayor comes in all as one of those adults that is less looking at this situation like, you know, strangeness or anything like that, and more looking at this situation like a bunch of stupid kids, his son included, are causing a mess in his house.
Right. He sees the shadowed window, the gate partially open. There's some critter running amok that the guards are yelling about. And now you're all, importantly, does he see them floating?
I think he sees them floating, but he can't comprehend it. So he just thinks that they're like in the space.
He thinks they're doing it despite him.
Right, you're doing a dumb thing that doesn't make any sense, and you need to stop it right now. Stop it, stop it right now.
Exactly.
Enough of this. Out of my house, all of you. And I think, there's that dumbfounding moment of, Ceci, you knowing that the mayor's son knows that this is a thing. Actually, here's the kind of beat I'm going to throw out here, playing off of that. The mayor's son gives you a sly look, Ceci, and goes, "Of course, Papa," and does something to the device as it wraps itself around him, behaves properly, and we all drift quietly to the ground. You heard the man. Out, out, out.
I smack him with the bowling pin.
How dare you?
Oh, my goodness. I think that's our cliffhanger.
Picking up next time in the dungeon.
Delphi gonna have to break us out.
Well, I don't know. I'm of half a mind that one of two things is going to go on with the mayor's son. He is either going to be an antagonist for us, or as one of the only other kids in the town that is aware of this stuff with us, he is, despite his best efforts, going to kind of be one of our crew.
That would be kind of fun.
I think we don't know for now, because it's going to depend on the consequences of, it's going to depend, I think, in the next episode, what he does, who else gets involved in this, and we know the parents are coming into this situation next time.
Oh, well, yeah, you mean Ceci just to attack the mayor's son with a rolling pin in front of the mayor? I don't think we, that's what kind of why I said we open up in the dungeon next time. It doesn't really matter how much damage you do. The guards are gonna.
Okay, so I think our beginning beat next time is we're in the cells waiting, at least until our folks get in and try to argue us out of it. Or decide that, a night in there is a good place for you all to be.
Bo's trying to dig his way out with a spoon.
You know what? I think if you want to throw that out, I think our punishment is we do open in the cells. The mayor's already talked with our folks. We don't get to join the festival.
Oh, no.
But that also leaves other things the room to act, because, Ceci, something flew out of your head that might be other places and other things, too. And there's that whatever that was in the tree that Bo disturbed, that without us to intervene, can do whatever they'd like to do.
I think we're sort of changing this world from one where magic is rare to where magic is just normally unseen.
It might be rare in terms of who can witness, experience, or use it, because the amount of time in which or means by which might be thin. Andrew presented that it could only occur in liminal spaces, but liminal is a very broad concept. So we don't know all the factors as to why now. And importantly, it could also be that it has been rare and for some reason is emerging again now.
Oh, we've got a Twinkie the size of Central Park situation.
Do you remember the vending machine that ate people that we turned into a pet?
Thought it was an ATM.
One of the two. It was a Dresden Files game. Steven threw a rampaging human flesh eating vending machine or ATM as a conflict to us.
Amazing.
Okay. No. He did not invent that. You invented that with Fey magic. You created, you basically unleashed Fey magic on an ATM machine. Then he had to come up with what that did.
It annoyed me.
He rolled very well with that game, considering all the extremely strange things we tried.
Nothing beats the pizza party.
The Burt Reynolds pizza mustache.
I know I have that recording somewhere. I will have to find it. It is one of the best examples of Pablo and Steven engaging in brinksmanship.
Yes, because neither of them blink.
No, and neither of them wanted to let go of where that situation was going, even though neither had control.
Exactly. Usually at a certain point, it's not that Jared and I blink. It's that we start going, okay, we need to spin this somewhere else.
Yeah, I think in the cell next time with our parents going, you know what? Yeah, chill off. No party for you is a good punishment. And
well, your parents, they got to find mine. They're out there in the woods somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah, I think the beginning then is what we do in this moment, because I imagine none of us actually want to miss the party.
I don't think so.
Also, importantly, says he.
Is Davey there also with us?
Yeah, because he fought with the sun.
Presumably. Yeah.
See, important question. Was anyone else tending the ovens at your house?
I mean, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I think their dad was coming back, though.
Okay.
So.
I think then the bigger questions are, depending on whether Andrew can join us next time, because that'll affect stuff, too, is what the hell happened to Alfie?
Yep.
And how do we get out?
Yep. Did they confiscate my rolling pin?
Dave. Did they?
I mean, it would be a little bit odd if they didn't, considering it was seen as a weapon.
Okay.
But did they confiscate your backup rolling pin?
Yeah, I was just about to go.
That
there.
Is the question.
Do you have more?
Of course they do. Who do you think I am?
Where?
I mean, you know, there are things that are like, I can send a picture later, but it's a very like fat in the middle and then thins at the ends. And it's like a little rolling pin that doesn't have like the handles. That you usually use to roll, like, you know, like dumpling wrappers and things like that. So she has one of those.
Turn in a pocket or a sleeve or something. That makes sense.
Exactly.
If you manage to pick the locks with that rolling pin, I will be thoroughly impressed.
We'll find out next time.
I'm trying to decide whether I'm drawing a picture of the mayor in the cell or a picture of the mayor's son in the cell. Probably the mayor. Anyways. This has been another Otter World, and you know it's a good one when we end up in a jail cell.
<I'm> sorry.
Until next time, I have been David Herman, a.k.a. Ram Nessus of the Brothers Herman.
I am Jared Surf, host of Here Be Tigers.
And I'm just Omni, here to have a good time and hit people with rolling pins.
And you are the only one who has accomplished your goals, then.
Mark XP.
I already have an XP.
Now you have another.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all. A good story can excite us, yes. But the best ones, fiction or not, compel, inspire, or drive us toward the hope that we need for a better life. Remember, you don't need to know everything right now, but you do need to write. So make sure to like, review, and subscribe to us at Here Be Tigers. And until next time, take life by the tail.